We are looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And the next section that we're looking at is chapter 6. We finished up chapter 5 a couple weeks ago. I was out of town last week. But this week we are going to look at chapter 6. And one of the great things that I've noticed, and it's very rare that I will commend the people who have divided up our Bibles into chapters and verses, because sometimes they get it so wrong. But in this case, they did a pretty good job, because what we see here is chapters 5, 6, and 7 are the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is the big sermon that he preaches during this time. And chapter 6, though, has a thing of its own, sort of a theme of its own. And I believe that theme is found in verses 19 through 21. So let's go ahead and read that. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, but where thieves do not and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And that is the key verse in this chapter. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the idea here, we're going to look at the first 21 verses. It might seem like a lot, but we're going to skip a few because they don't particularly relate to this theme. But it is the idea here that the preceding verses 1 through 18, with a few exceptions, specifically talk about how to build treasures in heaven. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, building our treasures in heaven. Whenever we do something right and good, we often want credit, don't we? We often want to be recognized. This is a natural desire that we all have. If I did something, I should be rewarded, right? Then this led many Jews of that time to call attention to their good deeds. We might want reward. We might want recognition. We might want some kind of appreciation. Some of us simply want a thank you. And that's fine. In fact, that's better than some of the other things, you know, getting a reward, some kind of award, perhaps, or some other kind of recognition. Just a simple thank you would suffice. Well, the truth is, about any of the good things that we do, it's not about you, is it? It's not about you. Who is it about? It is about our Lord. Remember, when we go back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." The purpose of our good works is not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify our Father in heaven. Jesus tells us how to do these good works, to remove the focus from us and to place it on God. And we do this by building our treasures in heaven. And we're going to focus on three aspects that Jesus talks about here. If we act properly concerning charity, charitable deeds, as the New King James calls it, prayer and fasting. These three areas in which we are going to look. First point, do not be seen. Do not be seen. In charitable deeds, the hypocrites. Let's take a look at this in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. In our charitable deeds, we must look out." Hypocrites do things only to be seen. We see the charitable deeds, prayers, in chapter 6, verses 5 and 7, and in fasting, chapter 6, 16. The hypocrites only, we'll read those in a minute. The hypocrites only do things to be seen. Their reward is to be praised by men, but not by God. We may justify such things by saying that we are helping the poor anyway. I'm helping the poor anyway. I'm doing such great things for them. But if your goal is to do things to receive the recognition, you know, our motives matter. Our attitude matters when it comes to these sorts of things. We're not building treasures in heaven. If we're doing things simply to be seen by men, these charitable deeds, then where is our reward? Our reward is from men, isn't it? They say, oh, you did such a great job. Here's this medal. Here's this plaque. Now, sometimes you do things, maybe not you specifically, but sometimes people do things to not to be seen, but they're recognized anyway. Somebody notices it and they recognize them in some way, and that's fine. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about are the people who do things simply to get credit, simply to say, hey, I'm going to help these people, and people are going to be so impressed with me. No, that's not what God wants. Hypocrites, you see, do not care about the poor. They only care about getting the credit for doing good. In prayers, in chapter 6, verses 5 and 7, we're going to skip 6 because that goes along with the next point. Verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. You see, as we see, hypocrites only do things to be seen. They stand in the synagogue, at least back then. Today, it could be standing in the church and on the street corners when they pray. By way of an illustration, I used to work at Walgreens when I was, at some point in my life. I worked in the front store, and I realized that they had a policy. And their policy was to build a store. There's a reason, because I was on James Island in the Charleston area. I had the store was on James Island, but they didn't have a store in downtown Charleston at the time. And the reason is because there was no free street corner. They had a CVS had there was a CVS downtown, but that's because it wasn't a street corner. They didn't have this policy, but Walgreens has a policy that you must be on a busy street corner. Why? Why do you suppose that is? So that they can be easily seen. People can see them and be like, okay, this is the Walgreens, this is where we need to go. They can be seen. Now, there's nothing wrong with having that particular mentality in business, because you want to have a good location so that people will come to your business. But in matters of our spirituality, of our own holiness, if we do things simply to be seen, our reward is from men and not from God. He says in verse 7, not to pray in vain repetitions. You see, many words do not guarantee being heard by the Lord. You know, some people think that they've got to have long, drawn-out prayers in order to be heard. Well, that's not the case. Now, should we have long prayers? There is the occasion for that. Jesus, at one point, prayed all night. There is the occasion for having long prayers, but where did he do that long prayer? He did it in a garden by himself. He had some friends nearby keeping watch, but he was by himself. He didn't do anything like that to be seen. That is not the point of prayer. You see, those who do these hypocritical things, they do not care about speaking with the Lord, honestly. They do not want his help or guidance necessarily. They simply seek credit for the flowery or ostentatiousness of their prayers. And I used a big word right there. Just the flowery language that they use. They want the credit from men and not from God. How about in fasting? Verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. You see, hypocrites, if you're fasting and you're a hypocrite, you want people to know that you're fasting. They disfigure their faces. They make it apparent that they are doing without. Fasting has fallen out of favor with most of us these days, or many of us these days. Though if we were to follow this passage, who would know? Right? If we were to follow this passage in terms of our fasting and not make it known in the public, who would know that fasting is falling out of favor? Right? Now, we talk about it sometimes. You know, we might say, hey, I did this a while back, or I don't see any value to it, as some might say. But if we actually did what we were supposed to do when it comes to fasting for a spiritual purpose, then who would know if we're fasting? Who would know? Though, some denominations practice something called Lent, which I'm sure many of you have heard of. They give up something for 40 days to remember Jesus fasting for 40 days in the wilderness. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with remembering a particular thing that happened back then. There's nothing wrong with giving up a particular aspect of your life for a certain period of time for a spiritual purpose. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with the church suggesting that you do that. There is something wrong with them ordering that you do that. I don't think they do that, but who knows? I'm not a member of that denomination, so I can't say. But how do they start it off? They go up to the priest, they take some ash, and they put it on their forehead. Are they doing that to receive the praise of men or receive the praise from God? They're advertising to everybody that day, hey, I am giving up something for God. Are they doing that for themselves or for God? Well, honestly, I can't answer that because I am not them. I can't look into their hearts and peer to find out what their motivations are. But I know that I certainly wouldn't be comfortable with advertising things like that simply because we are not to do these things to be seen. Is this not disfiguring one's face in some way? Many of them do wish to be seen, and then they have their reward from men and not from God. They have their reward. So, we ought to do these things in secret. We still should give charitably. We still should pray. We still should fast. It says specifically, we'll look at the fasting in a second. We ought to do these things in secret. The deeds in particular, the verses that we'll look at, the charitable deeds in verses 3 and 4, the prayers in verse 6, and the fasting in verses 16 and 17. And we'll look at those in just a second. In each of these cases, we need to have the right motive. We need to have the right attitude. We don't need to share everything that we've done, all the great deeds that we do. We don't need to share those with people. We don't have to. We must also consider our reward, our heavenly reward. So let's take a look at these specific things that Jesus talks about in verses 3 and 4 of charitable giving. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. He says specifically, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Of course, that's a figure of speech. It doesn't literally mean that. He just means don't make it plain. Don't make it obvious to people. Try to keep it a secret if you can. But this also seems to contradict the verse that I read earlier in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, doesn't it? Let your works so shine before men that when they see your good works, they may glorify your Father in heaven. Is there a contradiction there? He says that they may be seen by men, and then here he says, do them in secret. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Is that a contradiction? Well, it is not, certainly. This is the same Jesus. This is the same next chapter over. What kind of contradiction would that be? No. We have to look at the reason behind these things. The idea, simply put, is to have the right attitude in giving. Do your charitable works in secret, but your goal should be to help, not to be seen. One does give in worship, and it is often seen. So looking at our own specific worship service, we pass the collection plate around, and we put money in there, perhaps a check in some way. One thing that we've got to do is don't brag about how much you give. I don't think that's a problem here. I haven't ever seen that, but there's an application here. Don't brag about what you give. Don't make a big deal about the money that you drop in the collection plate. Have you ever seen somebody take out the check and then lay it openly and say, hey, this is how much I, or maybe a water bill. I haven't seen this in a while, but perhaps you have. I don't know. Where people are like, I've given so much. Here you go. Putting it in the collection plate. That's not something we ought to do. Don't make a big deal out of that. You know, a while back, I used to put only cash in the collection plate, because it's more anonymous than a check. Well, that was my own conscience at the time. I've realized since then that that's not necessarily a bad thing to put a check in the collection plate. You see, checks are fine. It relies on the discretion of the one who's counting the money there. Says, oh, okay, I see that this person gave this amount. He's not trying to be showy about it. Let him do so, and it'll be fine. Now, sometimes there is a deeper issue when it comes to our giving, but that's not if we don't give enough, but that's a different topic altogether. Let's consider our prayers. Our prayers. Verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You know, a while back there was a whole thing about your prayer closet. Go to your prayer closet. If you have a prayer closet, you know, that's where you pray. And that's kind of the sense that this word is taught. In fact, I think in the King James it mentions a prayer closet, or go to your closet and pray. Now, this doesn't literally mean you have... this is where you keep your clothes, and you go into there and you pray with all your clothes hanging on your face. That's not what we're talking about. This is talking about a small room that you might have in your house where you can sit there and pray. Now, the idea doesn't necessarily mean that if you have a one-room house, then you can't do this. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is doing these things in secret. It's a great idea to have this prayer room, but Jesus does not explicitly admonish us to do this. Jesus is urging us not to pray for others to hear, but to pray in secret. Then, a little bit later on in verses 8 and following, Jesus goes into how to pray, which we'll cover, I believe, next week, how to pray. You see, your attitude is important here. Prayer is important to you and to God. Now, we do have public prayers in our worship services. Brother Frank led the opening prayer this morning. We do have these public prayers. In these public prayers, we're leading everybody in the congregation. Everyone is in communication with God at this time. There's no need to speak in flowery language. But on the contrast of that, it is okay to use flowery language if your attitude is not to impress men, but to communicate with God while leading others in that communication. Now, and I say that because there have been times when someone will tell me, you use too many big words. And when I'm up here, I try my best not to do that. But sometimes I don't think about it, and my intent is not to use flowery language. It just so happens to come out. And it seems to be the right word for that situation. So it's not bad to use flowery language. Just make sure that your intent is not to be flowery. Your intent is not to glorify yourself, but to glorify God. make sure that your intent, your attitude, is for them, and to lead others in prayer as well. There is a line when it comes to that sort of thing, and it is a matter of judgment. When it comes to fasting, let's look at verses 17 and 18. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. This is another passage that talks about how we have the reward from our Heavenly Father, and it's done so openly. But let's take a look at that first line in verse 17. But you, when you fast. Did you catch that? It's not something that we can just ignore. It is an expectation. When you fast. Not if you fast. When you fast. Again, I've talked about this a little bit in the past. If you are in a particular health situation where you can't do that, please don't. But if you can, I urge you to give it a shot. I urge you to give it a try. If you want some tips or whatnot, I can do that. But right now, that's not the point of this lesson. When you fast, again, don't do so. Don't dirty up your face. Don't mess up your clothes. Don't wear a dish. Shower that morning. It's essentially what he's saying here. Shower that day. Make sure you look normal. Shower, take a bath, wear clean clothes. Don't make it obvious that you're doing without for this time. We must not brag about fasting. And sometimes that's difficult for some people. And sometimes it's difficult for me too. If I am hungry, I will often express that. Some people might show a certain state of irritability when they're hungry, and that has come to colloquially be called being hangry. Perhaps you've heard of that. Perhaps you yourself have been hangry. There is that Snickers commercial where there's some famous person is there and is all acting terrible, and then they say, here's a Snickers. You're not you when you're hungry. And then they become their normal selves. Perhaps that reflects how you feel sometimes. I don't know. Sometimes when I'm doing some kind of special diet, at some point we've done, my wife and I have done something called Whole30. Maybe you've heard of that. And sometimes whenever I'm doing that, I talk about that. Oh man, I can't eat that. I'm doing this particular special thing. Now it's not for a spiritual purpose. It's for health reasons, but it is something that we might want to talk about sometimes. See, fasting though isn't a diet per se. It does have some similarities, of course, concerning food. This is because usually when I'm talking about it, it's on my mind at that moment, and I often talk about what's on my mind. As a preacher, of course, I've got to stop doing that sometimes because, there's that confidentiality that I must adhere to with certain cases. I often don't intentionally brag, but I do often talk about certain things which could be considered bragging. Some people might think, oh, you're just bragging, you're showing it. Well, no, I'm not trying to. It's just how that works out sometimes. And maybe that's the case with you too, but really we should do our best to keep from doing that. Of course, this doesn't mean that you shouldn't fast. Fasting is often accompanied by prayer. In fact, should be accompanied by prayer. It is a way to clear the mind and focus on a particular thing. It is also a sign of devotion to God and should be done in secret. Don't let other people know what's going on. So, how does this all relate to building treasures in heaven? We see that we are to do these, well, hold on, yeah. When we think of building treasures, we often think of making money. We often think of investing, putting things away for a rainy day, perhaps. But the truth is, can those things be lost? Can the stock market fail and you lose all that money? Can, if you're hoarding material goods, can moth and rust destroy these things? Can thieves come in and steal them? Things decay around us. So why should we build up treasures while neglecting what's truly important? The physical world, as we see on there, is going to be burned up. Everything that you see right now with your eye is going to be gone. We can see that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. The elements will melt everything with a fervent heat. So in what manner ought you to be? What manner of man ought you to be? Because these things are going to be gone. We ought to be focusing on heaven. We know how to build such things materially. Well, some of us do, some of us don't. How to build up material wealth, material blessings. So how do we build up these things, these heavenly treasures? Well, the answer is through charity, charitable deeds, giving, through prayer, and through fasting. That is the passage. That is the point of this passage here. Building up these treasures in heaven. And how you do that is through these particular deeds. These things ought to be done in secret, of course, and not openly. We receive, the reward we receive is from God, not from men. You see, the hypocrites who do these things to be seen have their reward by doing these things openly, announcing them, and bragging about them. The Christian ought to build up his heavenly reward by doing these things in secret. You know, it's counterintuitive to build up treasures by giving things away. And if you think about that for a second, you are giving things, a charitable giving, you are giving things away. But it doesn't make sense. How are you building up treasures if you're giving things away? Well, as we see throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is being counterintuitive, countercultural. We see that in the Beatitudes that we've talked about earlier. Happy are you, blessed are you when you're poor. Blessed are you when you are merciful, meaning you had to have been wronged in order to have received mercy or have been merciful. Blessed are you when you've been persecuted. Blessed are you when you're hungry. Those things are counterintuitive, aren't they? And that's what we see here as well in this passage. We build these treasures by giving things away. Ah, I find that fascinating how Jesus has said this. We ought to build up these treasures so our heart will be in heaven. We have this saying, home is where your heart is. If your heart and everything that you're pouring into is here on this earth, where is your heart? Where is your home? It's here on this earth, isn't it? If you are working to build so many great things, if you are working to build up a certain amount of wealth here on this earth, where is your home? It's here on this earth, isn't it? Because you expect to be here. One of the parables, and I can't remember exactly where it is, I think it's around Luke 12, where Jesus is talking about a man who has built up so many treasures, who has built up his grain silos, and he says, okay, now I will rest. And then the Lord says, fool, don't you know that your soul is required of you today? He spent so much time building on his material wealth, building his material possessions, that he had forsaken his spiritual obligations. And so when that happens, who knows what's going to happen? There are people who work 24/7, who work, well, maybe not that often, but work very much. They forsake the assembly. They don't come. They are building up their treasures here on this earth so that they can have a fine retirement later, that they might be able to send their kids to college, perhaps. Well, if you do that and you forsake the important spiritual blessings or the spiritual obligations that you might have in these charitable... If you don't build your treasures up in heaven at all, what happens when you die before you can take advantage of those material wealth, those material blessings? What happens? Your soul is lost. We've got to focus on our heavenly treasures, our heavenly home. Our home is in heaven. And we build up those treasures by making heaven our home. If we do these things openly, build only material wealth, our hearts will long for this world. Our reward is here. Our home is here. We will then get attached to material things when we should be attached to heavenly things. We got to focus on the heavenly. And I bring up Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, that talk about that very thing. Let us focus on heavenly things. You see, it's not wrong to build up material wealth. It's not wrong to do that. But it is wrong if we neglect our heavenly wealth. If we don't build up treasures in heaven, we will have nothing there for us. It's one of the dangers that we have in our American society, is that we're the richest country in the world. Many of us have so much. Even the poorest among us is richer than some of the richest people in other countries. Where is our treasure? In our material things, in our phones, in our refrigerators, in our homes? Or is it in heaven? I pray that it is in heaven. Again, not wrong to have these things. Certainly not. But it is wrong to have your priorities misplaced and to focus on that to the neglect of your heavenly spiritual blessings. Spiritual treasures. So, finally, let us make heaven our home. Let us make our home in heaven. We can do this by doing these charitable deeds, by praying, by fasting, and doing these things in secret. But in order to do that, you must first open an account. You must first open an account. How do you open an account with our Lord? We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We've got to become a Christian, first of all. We've got to become a Christian in order to open that account so that our treasures can be built in heaven. Without that account, any good work that we do is in vain. So, we've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of our sins, confess that name of Christ, and be baptized for the remission of our sins so that our sins can be washed away, Acts 22 and 16. When we do that, our account is opened and we can start building our treasures in heaven. How wonderful, how amazing is that? We've also got to continue building these things, continue building these treasures. And in order to do that, your account must be in good standing. Does that make sense? Is the metaphor working? Hopefully I'm not stretching it too far. Your account must be in good standing. In other words, you have to be walking in the light as he is in the light. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. You have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ cleanses you from all sin. Remember that we all sin at some point or another in our lives. And sometimes our sin is something we need to repent of. In fact, all sin is something we need to repent of and to turn from and to change. And so when we do that, when we repent of those sins, even after we become a Christian, we might not know all the sins that are out there. Let us repent and let us continually turn to him. Pray that our sins are forgiven us, making sure that our account is in good standing. You see, God, he keeps perfect records. Have you thought about that? He keeps perfect records. The books will be opened up, Revelation 20:12, I think. the books will be opened up. And all those things that we've done will have been recorded. Now, what is recorded in those books? First off, he never forgets a thing. Does he? Do you think God is forgetful? There is one thing in which he is forgetful of, and those are the sins of those who are covered in his blood. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful thing? To have your sins washed away and covered in his blood? Those things he forgets. But what he doesn't forget is every good thing that you've done. Once you've opened that account, everything good that you've done, he keeps a record of. And I find that a wonderful thing, a comforting thing. And I pray that your accounts will be open, that your accounts will be in good standing, and that you will build up those treasures in heaven. If you have a need this evening, if you want to open up that account, if you want to make sure your account is in good standing, if you want to continue to build treasures in heaven, or if you want to start, you have a chance to do so this morning. Please, if you have a need, come forward as we stand and as we sing.